With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time.
Rich Eisen.
Absolute.
Rich Eisen.
Friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Thinking I have something to prove. Excuse me.
You on the wrong side if you're trying to win.
Today's guests. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, Chase Claypool. Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman, Justin Turner. Plus, from TNT's All Elite Wrestling, Cody Rhodes. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host, a.k.a. four straight months running best dad ever. Here
it's
from
beast,
the Los
Rich.
Angeles. It's no, oh, pardon me, now it's beast dad ever. That's
yes.
Right. DK Metcalf said, I'm more of a beast than him, which is great. We are here on the Rich Eisen Show in Los Angeles, California, where the folks here are still celebrating the Lakers NBA championship. They also watched the Dodgers, in a rarity, lose a playoff baseball game last night, down one game, losing the first game to the Atlanta Braves in the National League Championship Series. So we are here in L.A. with one more game left in week number five. Chris Brockman, good to see you over
there.
How are you?
What's happening?
Mike
good
Del Tufo
you,
settling into his chair. Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster, T.J. Jefferson, good to see you.
What up, Rich?
When I said week five, obviously meaning the National Football League. Normally it would be over, but we've got one game tonight. The Tennessee Titans had all of their Monday COVID tests come back clean. So it's all good, good to go, GTG, for the Buffalo Bills undefeated against the Titans undefeated tonight, 4-0 versus 3-0. Good times to finish up week five on a Tuesday night, only the third Tuesday football game in the National Football League since 1946.
Let's go.
So we're ready to roll tonight on that front. And Monday Night Football, let's hit that between the Chargers and the Saints. And amazing, just absolutely, truly amazing, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Saints. With the Saints and Drew Brees not being able to get the ball down the field at all, the offense looking positively terrible, and the Los Angeles Chargers with their dynamic young rookie quarterback after a week one in Cincinnati where they win because every single football god that's been against the Chargers for so many years has the Bengals and their rookie quarterback set up for a field goal to try and tie it. And Randy Bullock, the Bengals field goal kicker, cramps up in the middle of the kick and he misses it. And the Chargers win. And the Chargers have completely, with that and Justin Herbert, completely reversed all their cursed fortunes. And the Saints are the team that looks absolutely terrible. And wait a minute, I'm being told in my ear, they played a second half. They played a second half last night.
Yeah,
I'm being told
that
is not the narrative.
Nope.
That was just the halftime narrative.
Sorry. Yeah.
They played a second. Oh, and I'm told it went into overtime because Michael Badgley, who missed an extra point, the place kicker, had enough leg to win the game at the very end of regulation, but the ball hit an upright and it didn't go through. And there was I'm told there was overtime. And I'm told, wait a minute, help to put the Saints up. Drew Brees actually threw a vertical pass for a touchdown, over 40 yards in the air, too.
Well, I mean,
it fluttered
up there for a while.
Hold on a second.
I mean,
Drew Brees faded back to pass in a National Football League game last night with the game on the line. Drew Brees looked off a second-year safety, like the veteran that he is, should do, and then threw a ball in the air that crossed the line of scrimmage.
Important
note.
Wait for it.
Crossed the line to gain first down marker. And then 30 more yards in the air. Feathery touch directly into the hands of Jared Cook for touchdown. I saw that with my own two eyes last night. And then hold on. Taysom Hill was brought in the red zone. Taysom Hill. They told Drew Brees, sit down. Sit down.
I hate that.
We need a touchdown to actually tie this game up. Sit down. Taysom Hill, you get out there. And it worked. He scored. Take some of this, returns. He scored. And the Saints defense that was pitching a shutout all second half gave up a big one to Mike Williams, who also had an amazing catch to set up the game winner that got doinked off the upright. Saints survived all of that.
Single doink.
And look who is 3-2 along with the Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. You're 3-2 New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees now has, by the way, another 300-yard passing game. He had only 43 passing yards at the two-minute warning of the first half. That's it. Wound up with 325. Threw it 47 times. Alvin Kamara was totally bottled up in terms of a big play until the very, to set up the winning field goal eventually, not just for the New Orleans Saints, but for Chris Brockman's fantasy football team that needed one more Will Lutz point. Whoa. And had the ball gone through the uprights for Michael Badgley, not only would the Saints have lost, but Chris Brockman's fantasy team would have lost as well.
Gosh, sweating it out of my house.
Kamara, other than that, not many big plays. And Emmanuel Sanders, man, career high 12 catches last night. And I got to tell you, after the game, Sean Payton did the usual, I'm only talking about the players who are here. Let's talk about the players who played tonight, because Michael Thomas, as you know, was out because he punched out one of his teammates. And Breeze said that he spoke to Michael Thomas, that he's going to be a big part of this team moving forward. And I know that there is, for the New Orleans Saints right now, a bye week. But there was no commitment from Sean Payton that Michael Thomas would be back in the lineup after the bye week. He must have really swung and packed a wallop.
I hope it was worth it.
So there's that drama, along with the drama that Drew Brees can't throw anymore, and yet another 300-yard passing game for Drew Brees. It doesn't look pretty at times, I'll be very honest with you. But Brees had to really enjoy that fade back, hang out, look, the safety off. 40-something yards in the air. Touchdown. Then they started making plays at the end, even though they blew one coverage. Is that Patrick Robinson blew that one coverage on Mike Williams? You are what you are, though, as Bill Parcells would say. And Sean Payton knows this. So does Anthony Lynn, coming from the Parcells staff. They're on the Parcells coaching tree. You are what you are. What the Saints are 3-2, and unfortunately for the Los Angeles Chargers, what they are is 1-4. They won week one, and you thought the fortunes were reversed. You thought the fortunes were reversed. Then the needle goes in improperly into the chest of Tyrod Taylor, and in comes Justin Herbert. And you thought, oh, God, now the fortunes have changed. But Justin Herbert is so damn good. He's now 0-3 as a starter because Tyrod, 0-4 as a starter. He did actually start that week two game. And he's 0-4 as a starter. You want to talk about a statistic that does not tell the story? That's one of them right there. Because three of the losses, Mahomes, Brady, and Breeze, and he damn near beat all of them. The one quarterback that he didn't come somewhat close to was Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers, who have not lost since that week three win from the against the Chargers. We're now 1-4, but they've got a real deal in Justin Herbert. Boy, does he have a big arm. He is tough to take down. He has got the proverbial, he's got to get this out of his system, but he will, playing every single week and improving just like Joe Burrow is. That whole, I'm not going down, I'm going to throw back across the middle late because I'm going to try and make a play type thing. He doesn't have to live for another day, Gene, in him right now. But I'll tell you what, man, 4 touchdowns last night, that's a rookie Monday Night Football record. Did you see who else had that record? Did you see that graphic last night?
No.
Another rookie who had 3 touchdown passes in a Monday Night Football game, Dan Marino. Another one, Geno Smith. So, so there's a gray area that you could fill in between both
of
those.
All over the spectrum, okay. It's fine.
So this kid's really good, man. He can make the throws. But the Chargers, I don't know. Maybe they need to. Here's what they should do. They should get Jobu's rum, right? And some beard clippings from Fouts. And what else? Let's get LTs. Let's get an LT teardrop. Let's get some
the like visor.
An actual drop of a tear.
An actual tear.
Drop of a tear from LaDainian Tomlinson, and a beard clipping of Fouts.
A feather from the chicken.
San Diego chicken. Yeah. Sure, we can do that. Let's put it all together.
Some old Eric Coryell plays that never.
We could do that. Maybe another clipping of Weddle's beard. Okay, and put it all together. With Jobu's rum and let's just have some sort of a seance or an intervention on behalf of the Chargers organization. We have to.
It's very bad to steal Jobu's rum.
Exactly. We'll have to ask for permission. Okay. We could save the I've got the number of the 40% save 40% guy. We can get him. Okay. And so gotta do it. Because there is something going on here. There's something going on here, man.
Yeah, it's really weird. I feel bad for the kid, man. He outplayed Breeze most of the night.
Also.
It's awesome.
Also, a touchdown grab by Keenan Allen. Because, I mean, Herbert was making the throws. He was making all the throws. He wasn't settling for any field goals, which is good because the kicker was having some problems. But I'll tell you.
Rolling out the run.
He was absolutely dealing in that first half. Keenan Allen making his touchdown grab wrenches his back out for the rest of the game. That changed a huge amount. At one point with the game on the line, Bosa is on the sideline because he needed a blow. Yeah. Owosu goes out. I mean, Ingram's already out. Normally that's the offensive line, not the defensive line that has the injury problems for the Chargers. And then they set up the game winner. You saw Breeze and everybody on that sideline saying, I can't believe we came back and now we're going to be 2-3. And then the ball had more than enough leg and then it hits the upright. Oh, my God. That's why I tweeted out last night, welcome to the typical heartbreaking Chargers loss, Justin Herbert. This is what he's going to have to overcome. 1-4 with the 4-1 Chargers already beating you and having a tie break in their back pocket and they're the Chiefs. Who might lose maybe two, three more times. The AFC West, as we're sitting here, as they head into their bye week now that has now been brought upon the fact that the schedule needed to be totally reconfigured. The AFC West looks, as they hit their bye week, week 6. I mean, you never say never in the NFL, but history looks like history.
Chargers got their guy, though, Rich.
The Chargers got their guy.
They got their guy.
I agree. Yeah. And it's amazing how things work because you know the Chargers knocked on Tom Brady's door.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it looked like Tom.
Sort of the Saints.
Sort of the Bears, apparently, reportedly, allegedly. You never know. But Brady, out of all of the potential options, including the Raiders, too, allegedly, reportedly, rumored to be, that the Chargers, though, were the team that it appeared to be was the most likely option. If Brady didn't mind coming west. As we all know, he wanted to stay east because his son lives in the East Coast. His son with Bridget Moynihan. And so he didn't want to go. Which totally makes sense. Got it. But they said no. We're sticking with Tyrod Taylor. We kept on pounding the table here. I'll tell you when I think I'm wrong or not. I thought Cam was the smart play here. But I was also talking about fannies in the seats, and as we all know, there are none. But it's about interest and who's going to be interested in the Chargers, and you've got a battle in Los Angeles for eyeballs, including the Lakers and the Dodgers, and there's big news on that front coming up to let you know about. But I was wrong. Sit back. Draft Justin Herbert.
Rock
not a bad
roll.
Plan.
Rock and roll.
Because this kid's good.
He is.
Oh, is he good? He's big. He's tall. He's strong. He's got a big arm.
Big arm.
And he seems to have a little bit of touch. And all those questions about accuracy.
Tough.
Ask Josh Allen about accuracy problems being drafted. How that's looking.
Dude's MVP so far.
But it's, again, just such a shame that the Saints don't have a quarterback who can throw downfield when he throws for 40-something yards against his tight end. for a big touchdown?
Hey, look.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do it one time. This guy, even the most steadfast and ardent Saints fan, talking to you, Don, will admit, Breeze is done. It's over, man. It's over. They're not going to win a playoff game with this guy at quarterback.
Don't you dare. As we know, the shovels have been out for Drew Breeze this season. Ready to dig that 6-foot professional hole.
Thank God there's a bye week this week so we can ice that puppy for two straight weeks.
Oh, boy.
When did football become careful. Having to throw the ball 50 yards downfield?
Be
that play
careful.
Too?
Like, no, you got to stretch the field, though. You got to stretch the field.
But you also got to make smart plays.
But he's out there like looking like Phillip Rivers, like short arm pushing it 5 yards to the line of scrimmage.
One of Emmanuel Sanders' grabs last night, Breeze was to the right of the right hash mark. Sanders was positioned moving towards the left sideline. And the ball got there with zip. Okay? There was a terrible interception, though. A brutal interception.
Brutal.
It was terrible. His one interception last night was similar to the one where... Well, I mean, this one he just totally overthrew. The one in Las Vegas he just threw to the guy.
Yeah.
Who was camouflaged in the Raiders logo in the middle of the field. But they're 3-2, man, without Michael Thomas. Hit the bye. Hopefully, Michael Thomas doesn't hit anybody anymore. And then he'll come back. And they're rolling. Breeze made a throw that went past the line of scrimmage and the first down marker all the way down the field 40 yards. It was beautiful.
There was nobody within Jared Cook of like 20 yards.
Because he looked the guy off, the single high safety.
Great.
He looked off.
You know who can make that throw? Del Tufo. No, like, no. Impress me. Thread some needles, Fitzmagic style.
Wow.
No offense to Del Tufo, but he can't make that throw.
Peter Schrager's first up. I agree.
I could do it.
Peter Schrager's first up, our friend from Good Morning Football and Fox Sports. Look who's joining us in the second hour, Chase Claypool.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, Chase.
He just scored another touchdown,
Claypool.
I think, while we're waiting.
Anybody have a shot at him on a waiver wire in fantasy this week? It means it's not so good for your team because you're stinking on ice. You got the number one position in your waiver wire, unless you're in some crappy league where that doesn't matter. Chase Claypool, everybody. Justin Turner, there will come back about that. And Cody Rhodes, one of our favorite from AEW, executive and champion. And you at 844-204-RICH. Hey, folks, now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on Peacock, our radio audience will join us in a moment. Happy birthday to these five people up there. Sacha Baron Cohen and Paul Simon share a birthday.
I like you.
I did not know that. Nancy Kerrigan, 51 years of age. Look at Nancy Kerrigan.
My wife.
Jerry Rice and Doc Rivers.
Hey, Doc.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Oh, yeah. TJ's.
Yeah, Coach goes from one to your team. We got to get Doc on just to basically say he can't quit T.J. Jefferson.
We can't quit each other, man.
Who is an odd hybrid of Clipper,
but
Sixer fan. Yeah.
Will Doc ever get to the conference finals again?
Shots fired over there. Look at this guy.
Doc's going to get me a ring, man.
Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
Not a lot of sleep last night.
Cage got you up?
Not a lot of sleep last night. He's doing this thing where he like wakes up and then rolls over on his stomach and then faces the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of looks at you like, what?
What do you want from me?
What do you want?
One baby goes one way, one baby goes the other way.
It's 2 a.m. What do you mean? We're not up. We're not partying. We're not watching TV.
What did I tell you?
It's like,
my youngest son, Cooper, unsleep trained himself on one specific day. Saturday nights during the football season before NFL game day morning.
Like, come on.
On a weekly basis. I'm like, how does he know it's Saturday night? Literally, that happened, man. So I guess you get no sympathy from here, and stop being so, angry. Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show here. Chris Brockman is in a mood.
I feel you.
I'm up at 1, Chris. Just FaceTime me. I'll chat with Cage.
No, because we're trying to keep him.
Oh, like, you want no piece of a baby.
We want him to calm down and go back to sleep. But we need to rile him back
up.
Oh,
that's what I do. I'm the rowler upper.
Well, Los Angeles Dodger fans feeling you as one particular Victor with a brick says here in this town. Feeling you. Clayton Kershaw feeling his back spasms. He has been scratched from tonight's NLCS Game 2 start. Tony Gonsolin, who you looked it up, Chris, he has not pitched in 17 calendar days.
Last pitch September 26th.
Emergency starter, so or an opener, I don't know, tonight for the Dodgers. We're going to have to play it by Gonsolin tonight. And so he's either rusty or well rested on 17 days rest.
Wow.
How do you want to look at it? So there's that.
Jeez. Oof.
Oh my gosh. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. By the way, do you know the last time and only other time Drew Brees has won a game when trailing by 17 or more points at any point in the game? You don't know.
I don't know.
2009. Drew Brees entering last night was 1-39.
Oh.
As a Saint when trailing by at least 17 points at any given point in a game. He's now 2-39. Last time was again 2009 in Miami where they eventually went back and won the Super Bowl. So, Super Bowl season for the Saints. Chris.
All right.
Brees actually, once again, threw a pass last night that went past the line of scrimmage, then past the first down marker, and then 30 more yards down the field. He is alive. He is fogging up a mirror and doing a little bit more than that. Drew Brees and the Saints are 3-2, baby.
I don't want to say I'll eat this peacock hat if Brees makes the Super Bowl, but...
You just did. Do you want to eat the peacock hat if the Saints make the Super Bowl?
I don't. It's a nice hat, so I want to keep it pristine. But I also don't think there's any chance, like the way his arm looks, that he's going to lead the Saints.
I spoke to two peacock people yesterday. I can easily
get hats.
Please,
can we get Mike a coffee mug because he's really upset?
Excuse me. Let's not have our hand completely out. All right.
I mean, I'm very sad.
It's not the Rich Schnorrer show. Look it up, Schnorrer. This man knows exactly what that word means, not just because he is one, but he's a member of the tribe. Also a fellow member of NFL Network from Good Morning Football on Fox Sports as well, Peter Schrager. How are you, Peter?
Don't be a gonif, Rich, all right? We don't want to give any kinahuras here. We're going to talk Yiddish. Let's do it, my friend.
Well, I mean, you know, the Saints gonif to win last night, one would say. That means stealing. You don't want to be a thief.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Thank you, Rich.
So, what do you think? I mean, because I'm having my fun here. Brockman, the Patriot honk and hater of anybody else, thinks that Brees is toast. Brees is toast. What's your two cents on this subject?
Well, look, I think the peacock thing was fitting because a lot of people were tweeting out visuals of the peacock logo yesterday, the way Brees was playing in the first half, it's time for him to get in the booth before we finish this season up. The truth of the matter is the storyline would be so much different if Brees didn't save the day last night. We know that the Chargers muffed things up with the kicks, and that's just going to happen, but they're down 20-3, and everyone on Twitter is demanding Jameis Winston and Rich. Brees went 21-26 from the second half on and was lights out when they needed him. So, again, I thought this was really impressive from the Saints, even though everyone's going to just point to the Chargers muffing this game. This could have been a totally different conversation this morning if they're sitting at 2-3 and Michael Thomas hasn't played in 3 weeks because he's punching out teammates. Instead, they're in first place and they're headed towards the bye.
Yeah, well, what's the deal with Michael Thomas? Because Peyton didn't make any commitment that you're going to see him in a Saints uniform after the bye. What's the scoop with him? Best you can tell.
No, and shows a lot of gumption, and kind of I was impressed with Peyton's decision that despite all the injuries and the must win, that stuck by his guns, didn't play Thomas. The story that I heard and this comes secondhand, is that in practice, now they had their helmets on, there was a punch thrown at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the second-year corner, and that it went beyond the usual just competitive spirit, and it carried on, and Peyton made a decision, said it's not going to happen here. We're not going to do it this year. We've been through too much of the team the last few years and through too much over the last 4 months, having been in quarantine all of August together in a hotel. We're not going to have people punching each other at practice. And he's put him on ice for last week. But like you said, there's no guarantee he's coming back anytime soon, injury or not. And I think it's a fascinating storyline, especially if they can win games without Michael Thomas on the field.
Peter Schrager here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, feel-good stories are just amazing in the NFL. And obviously Alex Smith is one of them. To see him back on the field, and just for inspiration for Dak, one would say, not just Alex Smith, but also in this division, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, how for real do you think the Panthers can be? We had Matt Rhule on yesterday. They're 3-0 without Christian McCaffrey. Bridgewater is dealing in this system in a way that obviously Rhule and Joe Brady thought he could. What do you think about Carolina in this division?
I mean, are they not the quietest, most impressive team that no one's talking about? I love that you're even asking me about them. Three straight wins without McCaffrey on the field. And their defense, everyone had a major questions because they start all these rookies. They start about five rookies. Their draft this year, they only drafted defensive players, seven players taken in the draft, all defensive players. And the first week, the Raiders came in and lit them up in their building. And then somehow Phil Snow, who is a 60-year-old defensive coordinator, this is his first year as defensive coordinator in the NFL, is finding a way to mix it up and get these guys to play football. We love the Bridgewater story, and we love the Robbie Anderson story because, of course, Matt Rhule was his college coach, and these guys have this great relationship. But I think the defense is the story. Guys like Brian Burns and Jeremy Chinn, a lot of people have not seen these Panthers wins because, let's be quite honest, they're usually in the eighth market game from Fox at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when there's a lot bigger teams being played. Guess what? Three straight wins, and they're doing it with good defense, too. And I think that's the biggest surprise around the league. Everyone thought they were going to be able to generate points with Brady and, of course, with Bridgewater and all the weapons they had. But I don't think anyone thought they'd be able to play some defense, especially this year, and they have. So they're a team to deal with. They're really difficult to get out of. And I think with Matt Rhule, these guys are believing they're a young team, and they're playing for their coach.
Do you think there's another team that was out there that could have had Matt Rhule and Robbie Anderson hooked up together with a young team with a huge upside? Is there another team in the NFL that had that opportunity,
you know,
Peter?
Rich, I'm in New York, and I'll be quite honest. Like, I've got relationships within that Jets franchise, and a couple years ago when they were doing the coaching search,
yeah,
it was almost like they gave Rhule the interview as, all right, let's just give Matt Rhule in here because he interviewed for Indianapolis last year, and you hear great things, and they interviewed Kingsbury and Rhule, and they let both those guys walk out the building, and they rushed to hire Adam Gase, and that's the truth of it. Like, Kingsbury got on a private jet after meeting with the brass with New York and flew to Arizona and was the head coach of the Cardinals by the end of the next day. What could have been? Who knows? Because Kingsbury came in there this week and took care of business, and Matt Rhule is 3-2 with a very young team down there in Carolina.
So now, that's, I guess, my way, Peter Schrager, of turning the subject matter to coaching, with the Falcons blowing out their entire building, with the exception, I guess, of Rich McKay. And then we saw what Houston did, blowing out the dual-rolled Bill O'Brien. Who's next? I mean, is it the Jets? Who might be next here, if at all? What do you think?
Yeah, this is obviously, this and COVID reports is not the fun part of the job that I have and that we work in. But I think all eyes are on the Jets. We'll see how far this thing goes. The bye week's in November, but at this point, you're 0-5. You've seen two other teams already get a head start on the head coaching search. The issue with the Jets, and this is not like a thing you rally around, who's the coach if you fire him? That's the thing. Is it Jim Bob Cooter? Is it Dowell Loggins? Do you go down a Greg Williams era now with the Jets to finish the season? I think what they really want to see there is how Darnold returns after injury and what we can see out of Darnold, because if you do have a number one overall pick or a number two overall pick, just the nature of the game, if you have a pick that high, you have to at least consider the quarterback position, and it's a quarterback-rich draft. So if Gase gives Darnold the best opportunity to succeed, well, then do you really want to can Gase midway through? But I would look at that bye week and just do a check-in, but I don't think we're going to have any action in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and this is the reason why I bring it up, Peter, is obviously, you know, Jets are near and dear to my heart, but also, you know, it's a national story, because if the Jets are do wind up with the number one overall selection, their decision what to do with it in relation to Darnold is a monster story. Certainly if the number one overall pick is up for grabs a la Ricky Williams type trade with Mike Ditka,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though the Jets already do have two first round selections over the next 2 years, thanks to cashing in Jamal Adams before the season, which did nothing to help with the evaluation of Darnold, which is, I guess, my point here is, how do the Jets not know at this point? Either the kid's worth it or not. I mean, like, we, you know what I mean?
Like,
you know what I mean? They know the stuff of which he's made mentally and also heart. You know that he's aces on that front. He checks every box as a face front individual for the franchise. The question is obviously, what can he do on the field? They don't have the pieces around. I mean, this kid Smith is a pretty good wide receiver. Becton is a large human being who we know is going to protect whoever's behind him. Le'Veon Bell's liking tweets on Twitter that carp on the coach. I mean, honestly, what's to evaluate with Darnold from what you're hearing right now?
Well, the question is, if you have someone like a Trevor Lawrence, what gives you a better opportunity to win in the coming years? It wouldn't be a knock on Darnold if they took Lawrence. It would be, okay, well, we've got given this 3.5 years, and now we're entering year number 4, and we haven't really seen the full potential. And you could say, I don't care if it's Trevor Lawrence or if it's Tom Brady or if it's Patrick Mahomes, they're not winning with Jeff Smith and Braxton Berrios at number 1 and number 2 wide receiver. That said, if Trevor Lawrence comes up in a draft, you don't get that every generation either. So I say generation, every year we go to the generation, this is a quarterback of the generation, but you know what I mean. You don't hope to have the 1 or 2 pick every so often. So that's the issue with Darnold. Like, at 4 years in, are you still feeling like you can still win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold? Again, nothing against the kid, but it might just be time to turn the page if they find that's the determination at the end of this thing. Look, this is a very tough year for him. He's been injured. He's been knocked around. And quite frankly, I don't think he has the tools around him. I don't think the coaching or necessarily the skill position players are as good as other teams and other young quarterbacks have. But at some point, do you go down this road, or do you say, okay, let's at least just start anew with a whole new group of people, faces both on the coaching staff and at the quarterback position?
Peter Schrager, Good Morning Football of NFL Network, Fox Sports, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to the AFC. Tonight we see the Bills and the Titans because COVID tests came back clear, thank goodness. So this game is going to be played this evening. And I think the Bills have the best shot in the AFC to dethrone the Chiefs. And I said that before I watched the Raiders perform like they did in Arrowhead. What do you say about the AFC? Do we see the best team tonight that wins has the best chance to dethrone the Chiefs, or it could be somebody else, Peter?
The nuance of this game is interesting because we'll see how both these teams handle what they've been through. I mean, the Titans, for example, have had maybe 2 practices over the last 10 days, and that's not certainly anything you want. But I think the Bills, thinking they have a game on Sunday, then they have a game on Tuesday, and I speak to guys in that organization, as of 24 hours ago, they're like, we're not sure we're playing tomorrow night. Like, this is all adversity, and it's not a tragedy, like a death or anything in the facility, but what it is this kind of deal where, all right, it's going to be a long season, we're going to deal with bumps in the road, we're a young team, how are we going to handle this? So I'm curious if the Bills pick up right where they left off against the Raiders, where they looked awesome on the road, and Josh Norman's making plays, and the defense is stuffing the same Raiders team that just lit up the Chiefs. If Buffalo can take care of business in Tennessee and put up points and do all the things that they've been doing, I think they absolutely have to be in the conversation for the AFC Championship game. And they absolutely could be on the same field as the Chiefs, which the last 2 weeks have not exactly been lighting it up.
And, of course, there is the undefeated Steelers that's sitting out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
My next guest after you in hour number 2 is Chase Claypool, who I know you spoke about at length on Good Morning Football today, for those who may have just heard of him for the first time because he scored 4 times and they've already put in a waiver claim for him tonight in their fantasy league. Tell everybody a little bit more about this Canadian football player here. What do you got for me?
Well, in the NBC theme of things, he was a star at Notre Dame for like 1 year, but his story to get there was really cool. He put on one of those videos on Facebook of himself doing plays when he was out in Abbotsford, British Columbia. A bunch of teams saw the video, a recruiter from Notre Dame came calling, and this is a true story, and Tirico last year detailed it well in one of the games. Notre Dame sends a recruiting letter, and he goes to his coach in Canada and says, is Notre Dame good at football? So that is how little he knew about American football. Like, is Notre Dame good at football? Didn't even know. Ends up going to Notre Dame, has this great year, and I think he slipped in the draft because, Rich, we were at the combine. He looked the part, he ran the part, and everyone I spoke to was like, this kid's great, great personality, brings it every day, and certainly is one of these guys you want as a face of a franchise. Steelers take him, they get him, and they put him in the system. They didn't even work him out. They didn't even do a pro day with him because of the whole coronavirus situation. So they get him in the 40s, and already he has four touchdowns in a game. He's the first rookie to do that since Reggie Bush did it in his rookie year, which was great. And I think he's the first wide receiver to do it. I don't even have the guy who did it since 1979. So historic stuff. But a Canadian-born player who really did not have much familiarity with American football. And here we are, four or five years later, he's already one of the household names on your fantasy team.
Right, and I think, again, the reason why 1979 became such a and it's interesting that Pittsburgh is mentioned in 1979, since that was the We Are Family year as well. I'm dating myself, but...
I'm in. Let's go.
I know that's the last time the Steelers started 4-0 was 1979 as well. So are you saying to me that Chase Claypool... by asking the person who's recruiting him, is Notre Dame good at football, means he never saw the movie Rudy. Is that what that means? Can we glean that he never saw Rudy if he asked a question like that?
Never saw Rudy, doesn't know who Rick Meyer is, didn't go with Beano Cook and pick Ron Palace to win back-to-back Heisman. He's got no knowledge of any of it. Someone needs to beef him up on his Notre Dame knowledge.
I like the kid. With each passing fact, I learn about him. Honestly,
great kid. I can't wait to hear the interview.
I can't wait to chat with him. Four touchdowns as a wide receiver.
Wow. Amazing.
That hadn't been done since 1979, huh? So, okay. Who's the best team in the NFC then through 5 weeks? What do you got for me?
I think the Packers. I know there's a lot of Seahawks fans who are listening in and saying, now, wait a second. Just the Packers have been complete dominance, and they've done it without Devontae Adams the last few weeks. So, you know, they're on the bye week, not top of mind right now, but you see that smile. It's not even a smile. It's a glint in the eye or a smirk from Rodgers, and it's, like, terrifying. I just think he's in one of these zones that he's just unconscious right now. I mean, he's, like, talking with such zen-like peace of mind and spirit, and these players are loving him this year. There's no drama. The coach and him are getting along great, and the defense is doing the job. So, again, we're not fresh off an amazing fourth-quarter comeback that Russell Wilson just had, and certainly not some of the fan bases that are fired up by wins from this past weekend. But the Packers, to me, have been wire-to-wire the best team in the NFC.
So you've got them right there, and then the Seahawks, I mean, how great. Name me another team that plays more wild, edge-of-seat games. I think they play games that's kind of like suits Pete Carroll's personality. Like, I'm sitting there hopping up and down and chomping on gum, too, watching every down of this. They play games that fits their coach's personality, from competing to just being wild and bouncing off the walls. It's amazing. You know,
last year's Week 17 game that they ended up losing, actually, to the 49ers, I would argue is one of the best games we've seen in the last 5 years. It's never mentioned. It was so intense to the very last play where Greenlaw stops the guy. I think it was the twin who used to play for the Patriots, the tight end. He tackles him, stops him on the one. And it's like, this is every game this year. This is what they're doing. The Seahawks find a way. And that drive, I said it on Monday's show, I think it's the best drive of the season, and it's going to be the best drive of the season. 94 yards in 2 minutes, and it's the full Russell Wilson experience. You get on a 4th and 10, where everyone's clobbering Brady last week for not just taking the first down and trying to go for it all. And I mean, Russell Wilson throws it 30 yards on the sideline of DK Metcalf. He does one of those pirouette plays on 2nd down. And then, of course, Metcalf drops the pass earlier in the drive and then gets the 4th and goal. Incredible touchdown. But, like, I just never feel like the game is over. That one was, I believe, you know, they were shut out 17 or 13 nothing in the first half. And, you know, it goes to halftime, and we're getting Tony Dungy and the boys and NBC. And I'm like, this game's not over. Like, we have to watch the whole thing. And, of course, you watch the Lakers celebration, you flip it back over, and it's 21-13. They're winning. Like, that's just what they do. And I think you're right. Like, he is unbelievable right now. It's going to be him and Rodgers, I think, wire to wire here in this MVP race. If Josh Allen might throw his hat in the ring, Mahomes, of course, but this feels like Rodgers and Wilson, who have been great rivals the last 10 years. I feel like they're on a crash course for each other again.
Peter Schrager, thank you for the time. As I was texting back and forth with you over the weekend, or I think maybe even during game day morning when I booked you, Aikman giving a pop to Good Morning Football during Thursday night, saying that he doesn't miss the show. He watches it every day. It's just great to hear, man. I always told you, I'd tell it to you and Kay and Nate and, Kyle, who's on tomorrow, and he's been on every Wednesday, I always thought at some point when I was hosting NFL Total Access from 2003 to 2011, losing all my remaining hair during that lockout year, that at some point there would have to be another tentpole show on the network, and then your show was born. So congrats on everything. Back.
That's awesome to hear, and I will tell you that you set the bar so high for us on Sundays and are the face of our network, and we're happy to work under that umbrella, so we appreciate it, my man.
Right back at you, Peter. We'll chat soon. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
You got it. That's Peter Schrager right here on the Rich Eisen Show, at P. Schrags, to follow him. There is one person that's missing from the MVP conversation. That's going to be my first down coming up at the top of the next hour. 844-204-RICH, before we go to commercial break here. Here on Peacock, you take the music down. We're not done yet.
I'm sorry, Rich.
That here on this program, for Chase Claypool coming on, coming up, very excited to talk to this young man. He is part of the next generation of the NFL, clearly. Where you come into the NFL not knowing what Notre Dame football is all about, only when you play for them. It's great. I love this kid already. So, but as you know, we could talk about his four touchdowns through the next generation stats of many air yards and how many yards after catch and what angle he caught it from and all of that business.
Yep.
But we here on the Rich Eisen Show, we are more of an older generation sometimes. We sometimes appreciate stats that we grew up with, like wins, losses, and things like that.
RBI.
In other words, old gen stats.
Old gen stats.
Thank you. Do you know that where there's a record player that you're here scratching? How about this one? Chase Claypool is the first Canadian-born NFL player with at least three receiving touchdowns in a game since Saskatchewan native Joe Rooney did it for the Duluth Eskimos on October 27th, 1927.
What?
That's your old gen stat. You're in the Rich Eisen Show.
Old gen stats.
I think that tells more of a story than how many air yards he had and what miles per hour he reached and getting to the end zone. That's all I'm telling you.
I think you're dead on there, bud.
Joe Rooney. Who knew?
Rooney.
Did he think he's seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Definitely not.
Probably not.
No chance.
Well, Chase Claypool's not had a day off, I'll tell you that. Well, actually, he did last week. That's a terrible analogy.
You tried.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. 844. Now play the music. 844-204-RICH. Number to all. A great poll question, or at least a scandalous one. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on Peacock, you also have a This Day in History teed up for today, correct?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
It's Boston related.
It's
so,
okay.
Which is,
it's okay.
You know, I don't want to think I'm like...
One of Kilbourne's best segments on The Daily Show when he hosted was A Moment for Us. Remember that?
I do.
When his signature came up on the screen.
It's great.
A Moment for Us.
His Instagram is basically a moment for
him.
His Instagram these days is just a moment for him.
He spending a full hour on the Rich Eisen Show last September.
Amazing.
Was two Septembers ago, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was when it was the. It was. It's been a year since he's been
here.
Yeah,
it's been. It was the 40th anniversary of ESPN, right?
Well, yeah. It was an anniversary where he and I were both left off the invitation list, so we decided.
Yeah, it was ESPN's 40th.
He made the martinis here, and
awesome.
Right, he gave Don Bowie the specific instructions of exactly the type of vodka he wanted.
September.
Oh my gosh. Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. We're back here on our radio network as well, joining us together here on Peacock, Rich Eisen Show. We'll take you to Brother from Another today. We are always appreciative of taking the reins of this network from Dan Patrick as well. And then the Florio Flauta. We're all in the Florio Flauta.
That's a nice lineup.
You know what? If I may, you know, because sometimes I feel like Ray Lewis coming out of the smoke in this business. I defy another network, streaming, linear, whatever, to come up with a lineup like that. There isn't a better one.
I spend a lot of time watching it. When I get home, it's Brother.
You go down a Peacock wormhole, do you?
Brother from Another, and then we finish up with Florio.
We've got to get Holly on here to talk about you and he and living together, right?
Yeah, get him to talk about Belichick. I mean, that guy's written, what, Brockman, like four Patriots books? Like,
yeah.
He's got another book on the Celtics big three coming out.
Well, I mean, let's get him on here. The bar to leap over is Jon Bon Jovi telling stories of bringing Belichick on the road with him. Yeah. That's the bar that we heard
Belichick
set
is a drummer
last week.
And you know, it's funny.
Closet drummer, he referred to him. Closet drummer.
We posted that tweet, and Holly and Smith's their Twitter responded with the bug eyes. Like, and I asked Holly, you didn't know that? Because like I said, he's
Did he done, not know that?
From the reaction on Twitter, I would say no. And like I said, he's someone who's done.
Oh, from the reaction. So he didn't hit you back on text?
Not on that one. It was just I tweeted it out.
Oh. Big time.
Is there something?
No, I mean, if I text him, he'll text back, but it was just a show tweet.
Look, there's a couple things. First of all, he's like sort of, I guess, the Forrest Gump of this program, right? Where he's come across everybody. He's floated through life, TJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
And you've met everybody. You've met absolutely everybody.
You have floated through life.
You have.
Life is hard, B.
No, I know that, but you're like a feather floating from one
like that
famous
bag
person to
a,
the other.
That bag, that floating trash bag.
By the way, this
American,
is a compliment. This
American
is a compliment.
Yeah, he's trying to pay you a compliment.
My word.
Okay. Yeah. I'm listening.
But I also don't want any problem with us and the show we hand off to every single day here on Peacock.
No, we're straight.
Okay, so he did.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he did text you back eventually.
Not off of that one,
okay,
though. Bergen. But you know, I think we're cool.
What's good? Our poll question, sir. Why is the poll question about scandals today? What is this about?
This was a smitch idea, and it's a good one. It's Nancy Kerrigan's birthday today.
Okay.
So we're talking about Olympics. We're going in that direction.
We're talking about Olympics. We're talking about figure skating.
Figure skating.
We're talking about American icon sports figures.
No.
That's not what we're talking about?
No.
That's not what Nancy Kerrigan brings
icon?
To mind?
I mean,
she was iconic when she was skating. You bet she was.
Okay. Fantastic figure skating career. Pride of Massachusetts.
Yeah, she was clearly the best in her sport at the time, which is apparently why somebody took a stick to her leg.
Kept her.
So we're going to go.
Hired somebody.
We're going to go most bizarre sports scandal, because that certainly is up there. Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding deal. The Lance Armstrong. All of it. The Astros. what they did.
Can?
And Rosie Ruiz cheating in the Boston Marathon.
When she took the tea, right? She took the tea.
She took the train.
That's your winner right there. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
she took the train.
Could you imagine?
Thought no one would notice.
She cheated the Boston Marathon.
That is.
Did she take her bib off on the train, though?
I
like to just take it and put it in her pocket. It makes it just seem like she just went out for a jog and then took the tea to another stop and then ran out. That is particularly.
That's ballsy.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she would have been outed on Twitter in a second. I think Rosie Ruiz is on the orange line right now.
I ask you this, sir. I'm not asking anybody else, but I ask you this question.
Yes, Rich, go.
What is the ballsiest scam you pulled on
somebody? Wow.
The ballsiest scam I ever pulled in my life.
Again, for somebody to run the Boston Marathon.
You're going to laugh.
And then say, you know what? I'm just not up for the all 26 plus miles
nope.
today.
I
I'm
going to
take the train.
And I'm
going to take PT, public
trouble.
Transport. Okay,
I
so
may get
is,
in trouble. Ballsiest scam I ever pulled.
Yes.
Mike, statute of limitations. You're good.
You're fine.
World Series. I wanted to go to see the Padres and the Yankees play down
1998.
In San Diego.
Yes.
So tickets were for the game, the first game of
game three.
Yep. Exactly. Were hard to come by.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to get a pass. So I'm like, and I know Fox can get me a pass.
Yep.
I took one of the executor's passes and then got these little ladies to stick the name on it.
Yes.
Basically, whited out the name and put my name over the pass to get into the stadium. No, that's bad. Now another one I got is for Live Aid, the big concert that was in Philadelphia.
Right.
We basically, and concerts like that, I'd fake backstage passes. I've done that for you.
Yeah, no,
but that's big.
No, I've got one.
Mine?
You tell me. No, this beats it.
What?
High school.
Oh, I've heard this story.
Physics. Hated physics. Again, I've how many times would I tell you? I believe in science. I think right now it's very important that we say publicly the how important science is. And all you kids out there, don't do what I did, which is tap out on physics. I couldn't stand it. Sweet Mr. Panetta was a physics teacher in high school, Susan Wagner High School, Staten Island, New York. My Staten Island buddies are going to freak that I've told this story publicly. I blew off a whole bunch of lab experiments that needed to be written out and all that. There were lab experiments. I had to write out these lab experiments. They were numbered. So my teacher came back at me and busted me. Mr. Panetta says, you're missing all these five labs. You're missing lab 5, lab 10, lab 16, lab 20, lab 23. So I just, instead of copping to all five of them, I copped to just three of them and insisted that I did two of them.
Okay.
Swore that I did two of them. One of them was Lab 16, the famed Lab 16, because that was the one that he said, I swear you couldn't do Lab 16. And I made him, on a 90-degree day in Staten Island, New York, bend down and look through his entire files system, looking for a lab that I knew did not exist, but shined it off that I did, fully knowing that it's worse to lie about not doing a lab than not doing a lab at all. But as one other famed New Yorker named George once said, it's not a lie.
It's not a lie if you believe
And it. I believed it. I believed that Lab 16 was existing and it's going to be in that font. I got credit for doing Lab 16.
Yeah, you game the system.
I mean, Rich.
Because I wasn't going to make up all the labs.
No, of course not.
I've got something like that. It's pretty bad.
Well, I got to do that. Well, let's take a. We're up against the end of the hour, but I'll ask each one of you.
I got to think.
You've had a scam something like that, but none of it raises to the level of the Boston Marathon.
No,
have we all put our thumb on the scale here? But I mean, no, we're talking about bizarre hiring somebody to whack the leg of your Olympic rival to
allegedly.
Take her out.
That's nuts.
Allegedly.
That's insane.
Okay,
allegedly.
Oh, no, I mean.
She by the way, I remember all of it. I remember Jeff Galluli, Sean Eric Eckhart was the guy who bashed Nancy Kerrigan. Yep. I remember all of it.
The why screaming,
I remember
they
showing
the wailing.
My favorite SportsCenter moment from Charlie Steiner, and there's many of them, was him running, go Google it, him running down the list of valuables that got separated, property that got separated in the divorce between Jeff Galluli and Tonya Harding. And the fact that one of them got the tool shed. He giggles halfway through it and could not keep it together. Please look up Charlie Steiner.
He could never keep it together.
Is this on par with the Carl Lewis?
Many times he couldn't hold it together during a SportsCenter on-camera lead-in. This one is my favorite of all of them. Right now, Charlie's getting set to call an NLCS tonight for the Dodgers locally here without Clayton Kershaw. Justin Turner is slated to call in the next hour. Chase Claypool as well. And my four downs, I've got an intro. There is somebody missing from the MVP conversation in the NFL. And I'll tell you who the best quarterback wide receiver is through 5 weeks and more